It's good to see your presence this morning, and it's good that we can come together and worship God. It's been a little rainy out, but we always need rain sometimes, so have to take the sun and the rain. They're both needed. Had a good Bible study and appreciate the good singing and the prayer. Our lesson this morning is on idle words. Now, we're to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul. We're to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to love our fellow man. And so we need to be careful at what we say. Sometimes we get to talking, and we talk, and we say things maybe that we shouldn't say. And so we'd like to study about idle words. In Matthew 12 and verse 36, Jesus says, "But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment." Every idle word, he says, that we speak will give an account of in the day of judgment. Since our words express our thinking, Jesus says that we'll answer for idle words. And so when we're thinking certain things, then we talk about those things. And of course, we're going to use idle words sometimes. Tongue control is a very difficult matter. It's not easy to control the tongue. It requires the help of God as we change our hearts. In James, the third chapter, James tells us about the tongue and the dangers in speaking. He says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they're so large and driven by fierce winds, they're turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body, sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father. With it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." And so he tells us here, the tongue, no man can tame the tongue. But we can learn to control our tongue. Being careful in what we say. We ask the question, what are idle words that we're going to have to give an account of in the day of judgment? Idle words are inactive words, unfruitful, barren, ineffective, worthless, lazy, useless words. Words that have no meaning. Words that should not be spoken. Idle words are useless words, worthless words. Idle words are those that don't accomplish God's purpose. Yes, God intends for us as Christians to do certain things. Speech should be used to inform one who has sinned against us. The Bible tells us when a person has sinned against us that we should go to that person and speak to them. Let them know that they have sinned against us so they can correct it. In Matthew 18, verse 15 through 17, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. If he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. If he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. And so when someone has sinned against us, we need to go to that individual that it might be corrected. We're not to talk about that person behind their back and criticize them without first going to that individual. And if they won't repent, he says, you take two or three witnesses with you. If you won't hear them, then take it to the church. Words to others first about this matter are idle words. Speech should be used to convert others to Christ, to build up or encourage others to live a faithful Christian life. Yes, these are the words that we're to use as Christians. Encourage others to become Christians. Encourage one another to live a faithful Christian life. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, he came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And so we need to use our words in teaching others the gospel of Christ and teaching one another the words of Christ, the teachings of Christ. Speech should be used to restore one overtaken in a fault. When a brother or sister sins and they're not being faithful, then we need to speak to them. In Galatians 6 and verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault or in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And so when a brother or sister is backsliding and they're going in the wrong direction, we need to talk to them, encourage them to come back to the Lord and be faithful. Speech should be with wisdom, grace, and be a profit to the hearer. In Colossians 4 and verse 6, Paul says, let your speech always be with grace, that is favor, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And so we're to speak words of kindness and love and gentleness, and be careful what we say. We know specific types of idle words. Talebearing. When a person is a talebearer, that is a sin. It's one that carries tales, slanders others, tells things about others that hurt them. And so we're not to be a talebearer. Go around telling tales and things that we shouldn't be saying. It is forbidden in the scriptures. In Leviticus 19 and verse 16, you shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. And so let's not be a talebearer. In Proverbs 26 and verse 22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Yes, they are destructive, hurting the lives of others. The talebearer reveals secrets. In Proverbs 20, verse 19, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with the lips. And so some things maybe that are secret that we don't need to be talking about. Backbiting. Backbiting is going behind one's back and speak evil of them, slander them, injure their reputation. And so as Christians, we should not be backbiters, criticizing others and condemning others when they're trying to live the Christian life. In Romans 1, verse 28 through 30, says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. We notice here that backbiters and whispers are included in this list of sins. And so let's not be a backbiter. Paul warns the Corinthians about backbiting. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20, "For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceit, and turmoils." And so here Paul is enumerating a number of sins concerning the Corinthians. He did not want them to be found guilty of these things. Paul warns the Galatians, Galatians 5, 14 and 15. He says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed one of another." And so we're to love our neighbor as ourself, he said. And he says, if we bite and devour one another, we'll be consumed one of another. And so let's not be biting, complaining about others, criticizing, murmuring, to be discontent, to grumble, to be complainers. These are idle words. The children of Israel often murmured against God, against Moses. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 10, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." Many times they murmured, they complained. Exodus 16, verse 3, "And the children of Israel said to them, Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For ye have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Yes, they had been persecuted there in Egypt, beaten and mistreated. But here they are complaining because they were not getting all the food that they wanted. God fed them with manna. When Jesus was on earth, the people were murmuring. In Luke 15, verse 1 and 2, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. The Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them." And so they were murmuring, they were complaining against Jesus because he was trying to save the sinners. We are to be content with those things that we have in this life. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 8, "Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." And so let's not be guilty of murmuring, complaining because we don't have this or that. Evil speaking is idle words. When we speak evil, we're using idle words. Ephesians 5, verse 25, "Therefore put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another." Lying is evil speaking. We're to speak the truth. Ephesians 4, 29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth. Be careful what you're saying. Ephesians 4, 31, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." All evil speaking is idle words, and we're going to give an account in the judgment. Slander. Some of these words overlap one another. To give an evil report, a false accuser, trying to hurt the reputation of another. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 11, "Likewise their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things." The elders and the deacons, their wives, are not to be slanderers. Psalms 101 verse 5, "Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him will I not endure. Gossip also included its idle words. To be tattlers, to talk too much, idle talk, to talk foolishly. Gossip about other people. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 13 and 14, and besides they learn to be idle, that is the young widows, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the young widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And so a Christian is not to be a gossiper, a busybody, a slanderer. We must be careful and not speak idle words. Why idle words come about? Why is it people use idle words? Many times because of frustration. Yes, often idle words can come about from frustration with a brother in Christ and problems results. Yes, we're not to be frustrated with one another. We must put aside our frustration with others, endeavor to keep unity. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so as Christians, we're to be long-suffering, gentle, and bear with one another, not become frustrated with them. Envy or anger sometimes cause us to speak idle words. We get angry with someone, and then we say things that we shouldn't say. Or maybe you're envious of someone and what they have. Yes, if we become envious or angry with another, we're likely to say idle words about them. Cain is an example of what anger can lead to. Yes, he killed his own brother, Abel. In Genesis 4, verses 5 through 7, but he did not respect Cain and his offering, that is God. And Cain was very angry. His countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. And so here's an example of anger causing Cain to kill his own brother. Disappointment sometimes leads to idle words. We're going to be disappointed, but we need to remember that we're the family of God. We need each other. And this should not cause us to speak idle words. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14 through 18, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. Yes, each member is important, and we shouldn't become disappointed in another and say things that we shouldn't be saying. Also, when we're mistreated maybe by someone, we speak idle words. We criticize those individuals. Idle words are often said when we feel that we've been mistreated. Jesus didn't respond with evil words when he was mistreated. In 1 Peter 2, verse 21 through 23, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. You should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. And so Jesus is our example. He was mistreated, but this didn't cause him to use idle words and revile back. insecurity, when one feels insecure, he'll say things that he shouldn't. Yes, we should feel secure in Christ. In 1 Peter 1, verses 2 through 4, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who calls us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Yes, God's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And he says great and precious promises. And so we should not feel insecure. We're children of God. We have that hope of eternal life. And if you feel insecure, then you begin using idle words. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In conclusion, we must learn to bridle our tongue, control our tongues, be careful what we're saying. We must remember that talebearing, backbiting, murmuring, evil speaking, slander, gossiping are a sin, and that we're going to give an account of it in the day of judgment. We can't allow frustration or envy or anger or disappointment or mistreatment or insecurity to cause us to sin with our tongue. Yes, the tongue is hard to control, but let us use our tongues to glorify God and praise him. Let's encourage one another and help one another, and let's not backbite and whisper and condemn one another. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to be a child of God, you want to be saved, then you need to obey the gospel. You must obey it. You must believe and have faith in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You must repent of your sins, give up your sins, and turn to God. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized to wash away your sins. The blood of Christ will cleanse you. He'll add you to his church. If you're a member, you've not been faithful. You've been backbiting, slandering, not living as you should. Then you need to repent of that and ask God's forgiveness. And so if you're in any way subject to the gospel call, why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song?